You're listening to an exclusive Cup of Joe Morning Show interview here on The Sound of Life.
Well, thanks for taking some time today to do this. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
One of the things I wanted to ask about touring, you probably get this question a lot, but if you're away and your family's not with you, what are some things you do to stay connected to your family when you're on tour?
Obviously, technology helps this problem quite a bit. Being away from the family is obviously by far the kind of the hardest thing that we do. But first of all, you know, being connected through FaceTime and talking on the phone often, but also when we're home, trying to be intentional about having those moments as much as we possibly can. Back in the day when we were home, we had to work as well. But the last 5 years or so, we've been able to not have to work. And so outside of music, and so, you know, now when we're home. And so we can pick our kids up from school and put them to bed and make them breakfast and, you know, all those kind of things. So it's still difficult and hard at times for sure. But we also try to do most of our touring Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so that way we're seeing our families every week. And so, you know, there's just some things that we do to try to make sure that we're staying connected with the ones that we love the most. So, I mean, it's definitely a hard part about our job. But, you know, the Bible says that God's grace is sufficient. And what I have learned over the years is that he gives us the grace to get through the things that he's called us to. And so a lot of people always say, man, I don't know how you guys do it. And they say, I couldn't do that. You know, my wife's friends say that all the time to her. And the fact of the matter is, you know, God's given us the grace to be able to do the things he's called us to do. And so it's difficult, but the Lord's with us.
I think back to my days as a youth and loving music as much as I did. One of the reasons I, you know, went into radio is because I love music so much. And pretending to sing in front of a mirror with a hairbrush as a microphone and all that stuff. And you think, oh, it would be so great to be on tour and everything. But I, now that I'm an adult, I realize what you guys have to sacrifice for that. So
I appreciate that. But it's our pleasure to serve the Lord. And you know, I think along with, you know, him being there for us and helping us out, we try to make the good choices to stay connected and be intentional. And so it's taken some years to figure out how to do that well, but we're figuring it out as we go.
The songs that we play, yours among them, reach people's hearts in a way that often we couldn't if we were just sitting and trying to talk with them one-on-one. I wonder if you could share what's a song of yours that you would say represents a time that, you know, you were really applying how God was speaking to you through that song.
I will say that music in general, you know, I mean, a lot of us can put, you know, regular songs, not just Christian songs, like in that vein there too, that'll bring us back to a middle school dance or a time when, you know, something special happened in sports or friends or whatever. But so music is just a interesting, powerful gift that God has given, you know, human beings. And one of the ways that we see this is in the Old Testament, when Saul, the king of Israel, had been disobedient to the Lord several times, many times, and finally God said, this is where it says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And so he takes his spirit from Saul, and Saul is tormented, it says, by evil spirits. And what does he do? His advisors come up with a plan to get someone to come in and play music for him. And so it happens to be David, and David comes in and he skillfully plays the harp or the lyre or whatever, the eight-stringed instrument, and the spirits leave. And it doesn't say that he sang lyrics. It doesn't say that he had, you know, a whole bunch of songs. It doesn't say that they opened up the Tanakh, you know, the Old Testament, and read scriptures to him. It just said that he played melodies. And so music, we see, is just such a powerful thing. But for me, I would say when my boy was probably 2 or 3 years old, I heard Lead Me on the radio. And I went back to my house one day and I looked it up on the internet, and I remember I'm not that emotional of a person, but I did cry in my kitchen there for some reason. The song moved me by Sanctus Real, and since then I've become good friends with Matt Hammett, who wrote the song, and the other guys in the band too. But I went and I found him at an event, and I told him that song meant something to me. It moved my spirit, and I thanked him for it. And I realized the power of Christian music, you know, is just amazing. It's just really neat to be a part of it, and it's neat to be blessed by it too. That's probably a longer answer than you wanted, but I just thought that was interesting, that Old Testament story with David and Saul was interesting, that just even melodies can move us in such a way.
Well, I was looking up some videos of yours online and came across your story of how you came out of addiction, and I know we're actually hearing from people regularly say that they have a loved one, and it's often a child of theirs, in some kind of addiction. And what would you say to encourage those parents?
I would say that Philippians 1:6, I would say that the Word of God is something for us that we can stand on, these promises, you know, these absolutes that we have from the heart of God to us. And so I think we always look back at the scripture. I have a few thoughts on this, but the one thing that comes to my mind is Philippians 1:6 that says, God who starts a work will finish it to completion. Like, he starts the works and he finishes his works every time. When you look in creation, you look through the Bible, you don't see God leaving anything unfinished. He finishes what he starts. And so I think it's important to realize that when our kids are going through these kind of really heartbreaking, scary situations, we can hold on to the truths in God's word that's, you know, and remember that God will finish the work he started. And for me, that's certainly what happened. I mean, my life was grim and dark and desperate for several years. And, you know, but God was faithful to finish the work he started. You know, I'm not who I was. And then the other thought I have, and I was just talking to my wife about this, and when we let fear drive the things, the decisions, and drive the ship in our lives, we usually end up pushing people away, because our fear causes us to be desperate, and our desperation causes us to push people away. But when we remember God's word and we remember God's truth, we don't have to let fear run our lives. And so that can often happen with our kids. We can get fearful, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Are they going to do this? Hey, you know, child, you need not to do this and this and this and this and this. I saw that in my own life, in that season of my life, that fear drove my parents to constantly, you know, be telling me what to do and telling me what I'm already doing wrong. I already knew that, you know, I already knew what I was doing wrong. I just didn't want to be around my family because they're always, you know, it was always like a dark cloud. But my mother read a verse in Romans 2 that says God's kindness brings repentance. And so my mother just started to love on me, make me breakfast, hug me, you know, do different things as I came in and out of the house. And it wasn't 6 months that my life turned around. And so, you know, not letting that fear control everything, but letting the peace of God guide our actions and our thoughts and our hearts, and, you know, loving these kids. And of course, you know, I was in my 20s when I was going through addiction, and so, you know, my parents didn't have a lot of authority over me at the time. So there's certain things. I just would say that God finishes the work, and that you don't have to fear. God's going to finish the work he started. You just got to love the kids and pray over them, and it takes time, and that stinks, but the Lord's faithful.
He's bigger, and he's got it all. On something a little lighter, what's an average day like for you and the guys when you're on tour?
Well, we'll get up, coffee, we'll hang out, kind of talk about life or business or families, music, whatever. You know, obviously we've got a wonderful crew of guys that helps us set up all of our gear and stuff like that. So we go into the venue and talk to the volunteers, and if we're on tour with other bands, we're hanging out with them and writing music and doing some of the work that needs to be done behind the scenes. Then sound check, which is always kind of a fun part of the day, because we'll jam for a while and just have fun playing music. And, you know, we'll get together at some point most days to pray or read something out of my utmost for his highest or something like that, and then play the concert, hang out with people at the end, pray for people. A lot of times we're praying for parents that have kids that are lost, like we were talking about. It just kind of depends. Now that we have a bus, you know, we show up. A lot of times some of the guys will go out, they'll work out at the venue, or they'll go out and get coffee, or, you know, there's the buses to be cleaned. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff. Honestly, it can be a little bit boring if you don't have, you know, something to do, because you're waiting around all day, you know, from when you get up until 3 o'clock sound check, and then it's a 7 o'clock show. And so we write a lot of music out on the road, honestly. So there's a lot there. We spend a lot of our time finding some nursery or something to set up speakers and a computer, and we'll write music alongside a Winnie the Pooh and chairs that are 6 sizes too small.
You didn't take up knitting or anything like that to pass the time?
No. No, we didn't see the need for that. But
okay.
Our bass player is a fantastic woodworker, but takes a lot of tools to do woodworking, so he does that at his house. Yeah, and I mean, our drummer's an architect. He just had blueprints out on the on a pastor's desk the other day, making certain changes and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of stuff that keeps us a little bit busy on while we're out on the road, depending on the season.
Have you ever dealt with performance anxiety, like butterflies before and going out on stage?
Yes, I always feel a little bit of butterflies when we're doing our own thing. But like if I have to do something different, like, you know, we were on a new Christmas tour with New Song, and they wanted all of the lead singers to sing O Holy Night with them at the beginning. And so it was literally 2 lines. And, you know, 10 dates in, I'm still, like, it's the most nervous I am. You know, it's just out of my comfort zone. It's not my band. It's me doing something different. Another example is Ariel and I, our drummer and I, went to a NASCAR truck race because I was going to sing the national anthem there. And I mean, that was the worst, because I was so nervous that I was going to forget the words or start in the wrong key, or that I just had to be out there bare by myself. It was terrible. So I would say when I'm in my own element, there's a little bit of that. When I'm not, there's a lot more.
One last question. Where or when do you feel closest to God?
I would say in hardships, honestly. I realize that I don't want them, but when they come, they're the greatest blessing to me than anything else. And so I don't think, you know, I know that some people talk about when they're out in nature and blah, blah, blah. It's just, I feel like, you know, God is everywhere always. So I think it's just acknowledging that and walking in that. But for me, obviously, kind of in hardships, when I'm just really understand that I have no power, no control over X, Y, or Z, it always causes me to draw close to the Lord. And so I hope to take those things into good times as well, those same practices. But, you know, I mean, I'll feel the Lord at my kid's soccer game, or driving down the street, or not just a church, you know, not just my church services, although I'll feel the Lord there too. It's really neat how God is with us always. And, you know, that is something that brings me great peace when I'm out traveling on the road and my family is without me, and realizing that, you know, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us and He loves us. We've been speaking that over each other, like anytime there's, you know, something's coming up, and it's just always God is with us, God is for us, and He loves us. Like, that's just the truth. And so many thoughts and situations will cause us to question that truth, but that's absolute. And so I would say that's kind of my answer for that.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Awesome.
All right, well, thank you very much. And we'll use this to promote the concerts.
Play in the Northeast there. Obviously, we're from the Northeast. I was born in Albany, actually in Clifton Park. And so we're playing in Schenectady, which is real close. I've got some good friends there. We've played a bunch there over the years, but don't play often now. And then Massachusetts, man, we're going to have a really great night planned for us. We're really working on our live show and thinking through those things that we think are meaningful. We've got new music coming out. There's so much going on, and we're just, you know, really excited about being out on our own tour. We've been doing a lot of touring around with other bands, and so our own tour, our own night of music, and, you know, just believing God's going to show up, and then having these songs, these new songs that we think are so powerful that just come out of some desperately hard times, and great songs always come out of hard times. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about the fun aspect. I'm excited about the spiritual aspect. And plus, you know, I love going to Stewart's, getting ice cream. I mean, there's so many good things about traveling. You get to, you know.
What's your favorite Stewart's flavor?
I don't know. I'd say probably just the good old either mint chocolate chip or the vanilla.
Two of my kids' favorite is the mint cookie crumbles.
Well, I was trying to think of, like, I was like, man, what is in Massachusetts? I don't quite know where Adams is, but the Northeast has the best food. That's for sure. We live in the South and we travel all around, but Northeast has got the best food. So we're always excited about coming back. And honestly, I'm just really excited about this new season for Unspoken. There's been a lot of changes and some crazy things going on, but I know that the Lord is, again, you know, with us, and we're going to have a great show planned. It's going to be fun, funny, but it's going to be powerful and moving as well. And so I'm just ready to step back and let God do his thing.
Thank you very much, Chad.
You're welcome. We'll see
you. You have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life, Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events and contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.